interrupting the current neo-uranial, climate-changed, behaviorally controlled, energy-starved, alien-invaded, nuclear-glowing, postulated cricketism to bring you behind the woodshed. This is Cricketude Busting episode BTWRLM 547. Again, we can move on with this broadcast. There's so much going on. The way we're having to do this, I'm behind a couple days to even bring you the news and the notice of it and try to figure it out. And so things are quickly changing, and I have to maybe apologize up front if I miss a thing or two. Don't think I have, but you never know. We'll start out today a little different than last week, and we'll get back into this very important topic. Now, you know, a global thing going on. Funny how a little spot in the world can do this, but you have to understand how integrated it is and the underlying subject matter that's being dealt with. And I guess I'll say it up front if I don't get to it. When I talk about Palestine, I'm talking about secular politics, secular things. There's a whole other discussion eschatologically, and we'd be talking about the Holy Land. And I don't typically go that part too much, but you'll hear me talk and reference things about that. There's a whole other level to talk about relative to the things we're seeing in the secular world that I don't really touch too much on. Those will take care of themselves, I think. I'm hoping those that have the eyes to see will understand. And what I talk about in the secular side really mirrors a lot of that, if you kind of see what that is and understood it before. If you didn't, maybe it's an interesting subject matter to start studying. There's another way to look through that to see how consistent you might be in making interpretations. Again, the discernment part of all this. Part of that discernment is having people that are willing to report on things, even if they're being threatened. And we're going to hear a little bit about that as well down the road here of the broadcast. And we'll return here for a moment to Assange, Julian Assange, to become an honorary citizen of a major EU capital. In June, Assange's wife, Stella, visited the Vatican. So understand all these connections again, the Vatican and the European Union. Then understand the Pope and what I've talked about, all that, and climate change and sustainability and unity and all this stuff. However, interesting correlation here. In June, Assange's wife, Stella, visited the Vatican and met with Pope Francis. Later, in an interview with the Catholic Herald magazine, she said that Francis had sent a letter to her husband in March 2021, which was a significant event at a particularly low point for him. I can only imagine, folks, held without, in essentially inhumane state, supposed to be presumed innocent, can't escape, don't have any qualified charges for you, defending against extradition. And you'll hear again in this story the gut punch relative to this whole thing that I've been mentioning over and over. But she said Francis sent that letter, and it was a significant event for Julian. At the time, a lower court in Britain had ruled that Assange's treatment in the U.S. would not be humane, but decided not to grant him bail. And so there you have the justice system again, and the politics behind this. And the danger is if you think you have a right to free speech, and those of us in the United States believe that we have this right of the press. Up until recently, that was segregated to those that were only professionals in the press, but just recently it's been clarified. I don't know why it had to be clarified, that all of us have the right to be the press, the journalist, the outing of the government if it's in an errant way, even the heralding the good things of a government to maybe keep it down that track so that we all know what's going on and we have a little bit of input. That's what the so-called democracy part of the republic was. We would have a knowledge and an input. Well, this gentleman, Julian Assange, did that, and for his efforts exposing the U.S. military and killing some other journalists, no doubt, no less, is paying the price. And so he's before even being extradited to the inhumane United States prison system. For those of you who live in the United States, understand that you've been determined by other courts in other lands to have an inhumane prison system. That's the justice system as well. But I always want to keep tabs on this. I don't give too much time to it. But listen to all the connections that are going on in the world, who's connected to what. And there's a whole other story moving on through this. But that was the point about this was Rome is attempting to step up to at least give some recognition, even if it's honorary recognition, to get this problem out in the open. In a condition in the world where you find, as I said last week, you see that the Security Council, United Nations, is useless. They're all players. All the countries together are the assent to the corruption around us. They're essentially just doing whatever they need to do, their own thing, and they hide that under sovereignty. in the United States, the people were supposed to be that sovereign, and not the way it's been contorted, but they were supposed to be that sovereign, and that's long since gone down the river. And I don't know if we're ever going to get that back. And I don't know how we would get it back relative to all the literal ignorance. And I've had to fight my way through that, and I'm not immune from it. I'm still ignorant on a lot of things about how this place is wired. And I've told you the only way I've found to go through it is to use the black and white that exists, even if it's been adulterated, even if it's been corporatized, because that's what the system that's occupying us looks at. It's a system that's looking at Assange, that's keeping him, even though he's got a presumption of innocence, even though where he would go if he was extradited is inhumane, they're still holding him in an inhumane condition. Should to tell you, the global prison we live in is being modified, what's called transformed, and the Pope is one of the people doing that. Not to go there this today, I've done plenty on this guy, that the fallible one. He's not infallible there. He makes all kinds of mistakes. And you'd think someone who was a little bit more insightful would not make that many, or would really be able to fix a lot, and he can't. He's just another one of those players. Sorry to hear, because we surely need at least examples in the world, but very few and far in between anymore. And that's what we were told. If you could, again, the eschatological side of this would tell us that. As I told you years ago, we're going into the time of deception. I guess we're always in that time, but there was, when the fraud hit in 2008, the gloves came off of all that. Russia will tell you the masks off the United States on its real intention, but the gloves came off of all this stuff. Fraud now rules the world, and you've watched how this thing just turned down the hill and hasn't stopped yet. So, again, the justice system's keeping a journalist, and if you're someone who wants to spread the word or spread your expression, be careful. U.S., again, the inhumane prison system, sentences a meme maker to prison. What are your what kind of America are all the soldiers dying for to protect, folks? What are your sons and daughters going to die to protect? Where a meme maker is sentenced to prison. A U.S. sentences a meme maker to prison. Tweets urging Democrats to vote by text in 2016 were, quote, an assault on our democracy, close quote, the judge said. Prosecutors claim Mackey was engaged in a conspiracy to spread messages, quote, intended variously to provoke, mislead, and in some cases deceive voters in the 2016 presidential election, close quote, including tweets that urged supporters of Hillary Clinton to vote by text. Quote, they were committing fraud. Hold that one in your mind here, folks. Keep fraud going. She don't like the fraud here. There's fraud everywhere, but she don't like this one. I'm telling you, when you hear fraud, that's where you lead. If you find it, you lead with it, because it's supposed to vitiate everything right after that. That just delineates the avoidance of everything that came before it. That's it. And then it shifts the burden immediately. But they were committing fraud, this judge says, one that was aimed at one of the most sacred rights in our democracy. Excuse me, this is said by the U.S. attorney, Eric David Paulson, arguing that prison sentences was the necessary to send the message to the general public. That was the judge. But remember now, these are both bar members. These are both members of a guild, a private guild that runs the judicial branch of our governments, state and federal, and worldwide. And this is the other problem. Again, keep all these players together. Just because they make an office doesn't mean that they're not any worse of an occupier or oppressor. I've talked plenty about all these folks. Donnelly called the alleged conspiracy nothing short of an assault on our democracy. Though Mackey resided in Florida, the case was tried in the Eastern District of New York, where the Democrat Clinton had her campaign headquarters in 2016. Wow. Well, how did you do that, right? So now think federal. Not just state, but think federal, but, I wanted to get back to some points here. First of all here, we don't live in a democracy, Judge. So whose democracy are you referencing with saying our democracy? The one created and foisted upon an inattentive population by your usurpacious bar members as yourselves, Judge Ann and U.S. Attorney Eric? Is that our democracy that you're talking about? So you can have a corporate democracy, folks, as well. So what is our democracy she's talking about? Number two, notwithstanding that, the general population doesn't vote by text or otherwise for president in your democracy or in the organic republic. keep track of these details, folks. Not because I'm saying them. I'm hoping you're leading this discussion as I talk, and you're just nodding your head, and you know where to find the answer to all this. There, we don't live in a democracy, and the vote, the voter in the republic, nor the democracy, votes for the president. And then, relative to the transfer of the Florida state violation to a district, a Democratic-run district, that would be conducive to Clinton protecting her. What happened to the right of a jury by trial of peers, folks? And here's another element of the takedown of our country where we didn't pay attention. I talk about all this stuff. It's all in these stories, the news articles called Notice to Us, telling us what's really going on. He goes, where are the peers that when they moved him from Florida to New York? Because I'm certain the pool of motor vehicle drivers in New York pulled from as jurors and voters would have a thing or two to say about the drivers in Florida. That distinguishes them as non-peers, but there's a hint here. Consider this. Your jurors, you just have a jury of your peers, that's all been changed. That there's the peers now are the pool pulled from your, I think it's all states, the motor vehicle record, which means you're talking about only people in business. Those are the registered users and privileged users of the road that are using the road for commerce. The jurors are the same thing, but you have to have an underlying residence. So here's, let's get to the hint here. These are only peer due to their admitted registered status as residents of Washington, D.C., a non-state district, on both motor vehicle applications and voter registrations. Go look, folks, at what those of you who have written up what you've done and signed in and applied, you stick it to yourself, on these forms that they pull from for the jurors, so the juror pool, the voter pool is from the status of resident in Washington, D.C. And then what about the evidence of harm? So when you go read through this story, not just that the FBI informant was an evidentiary no-show, but, well, he was supposed to be the convicting witness here. He was a no-show. And the judge allowed all this. But where is the evidence of any elector who was persuaded by a meme? Someone exercising their right of free speech. I hope you figured the trick right there, because the voters don't hit the president of the United States or the vice president. If you should be ahead of me on this one. I've talked about this over and over again. What about the right of free speech then also, which any elector undertook to honor and faithfully execute the office of elector thereby? The right to freely speak, express yourself, even if it's a lie. Where is this harmed elector that got persuaded by this meme? That was the only standing that would have been a crime. And I didn't hear no evidence of that in the article, and you won't see it. Maybe you did. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe you can pull it out for me. So which government was harmed here? The democracy or the republic? And which are you being ruled by? The occupier, or is that the de facto rule of the Bar Association and their judges and attorneys? Or are you being ruled by your de jure power? And I think you know the answer to that, and that's our failure right there. So if we look at this case, all these things look like nothing. It's shocking to see a meme maker go to prison, but there's a big notice behind all this, and not so rhetorical questions, I would say. We got the answers, we just aren't going to push them forward. We need to push them forward as the people. But on this story, has the nation just witnessed a judicial decision declaring members of a liberal mindset, the Democratic Party, specifically those supporting Hillary Clinton, too stupid and impressionable to know how to exercise their right to vote? Or too stupid as to the meaninglessness of that so-called sacred right that is given voters to don't elect the president of the organic republic. Electors do. That's why you have the Electoral College. Okay, so keep all these things straight on how they screwed this thing up, and we'd get shocked about the wrong things. But also notice, relative to those voters, those are U.S. resident voters. Okay, go look at your voter registration that you may have signed, and it's in the federal democracy. Oh, it's in the state, but it's connected to that federal democracy, a republic or some hybrid pathogen in between. Are only participants in the charade to appease the voter. So you have the sacred right, but it doesn't mean much. but it can mean something, and it'll typically local. But relative to the president, which was, this was all over, Hillary Clinton, that those voters are irrelevant. So my point is the standing was with an elector who should have complained, and the prosecutor should have found an elector who had complained or could have complained when he overheard by some way that elector got snookered by fraud and voted by text, which should have been an ignorance on the elector's fault there, because he has to have due diligence on how execute his office he just took or she just took an oath of office to. And isn't there that the second proof invalidating the judicial opinion here, that people are too stupid to understand? That's S-T-O-O-P-I-D, folks, for the sensitive hearing of ears here. They're too stupid to understand their vote, and they vote a euphemistic democracy they've consented into is meaningless, that they also put up with the election cycles paid for by billions in donations by special interests, contrary to their own interests, and take a non-existent sides in a de facto democracy which only exists by occupation overseen by a private global organized society, your law societies, but while the lawful de jure organic establishment lays silent. This is all, to me, that this judge just points out that our democracy is not the democracy of the people. It's not a republic of the people. They've been operating right underneath everybody's nose, and these folks are apparently too stupid to understand you don't vote by text. Otherwise, this mean guy would have meant nothing. And he still means nothing relative to the law, but we're not dealing in the law. We're dealing in just us, not you and me. These guys, these people that are occupying our lives. And speaking of judicial overthrow and private control by a private, globally organized, usurpation society, the power to put reality in a cage when occupying authority becomes status quo, monopolizing what is law, we see this interesting little story. Authorities arrest fake lawyer, they say, who won 26 cases. Brian Mwenda, quote, argued 26 cases before the high court judges, magistrates, and court of appeals judges. The courts should test my knowledge of the law and admit me to the bar, he wrote. Winning 26 cases without stepping in law school makes me a genius. Kenya has many professional lawyers who never have won a case in court of law or who can't stand in the dock and defend a case. The LSK, which is their law society there, it's like the Bar Association, most other places, has taken a dim view on Mwenda's scam. You're a winner now, folks. Remember, in their own game, and you win, and there it's a scam that he actually be able to do that, apparently. Quote, the Council of the Law Society recognizes that masqueraders pose a serious threat to the practice of law and is determined to take decisive action to deal with the issue, it wrote in its statement. So, the practice of the law is the only thing you get. Doing the law, you're going to get arrested for doing that. So, if he's winning better than many other professional lawyers, so-called, profession is only that you get paid for it. That requires a protection against society because it's an illegal act for you to actually do that. Why there's this so-called license and professions conduct? No, you'll never find a lawyer with a license. That's what they want to tell you. But this is what the professions are, why there's regulations. If the professional lawyers do less than he is, who are actually the posers masquerading as maintainers of the law and a serious threat to society? Or in the case of the United States, your republic. Who are the posers, actually? This is a very interesting little story. This kid does what he does here. But how he did it, you have to understand how he did it. I'm not saying, don't read this to do it yourself, please. He pretended to be another lawyer, and somehow someone caught him out with an email problem, and they finally caught him up. But he had to make it appear that he was an actual member. So it's no doubt that the law council here, so-called, or any other bar association occupier, would take a dim view on the negative exposure of their scam justice system, wouldn't it? And so we can just see that through this story. Who the occupiers are, who occupies your life. The occupation isn't where you go to work, what you work for, and why. No, this is these people taking the international law occupation of the territory and controlling people's lives. And they'll go after anybody who they'll call fake lawyering when they're the posers. The system is the posers. And understand that the masquerade is a fraud. It's supposed to be condemned. You heard that in the first case, and you heard that in this case. So let's just hold that out in the back. You're going to find out as we go that fraud eventually is not condemned when it behooves the system to keep it going. And if I told you about the fraud of 2008, financial fraud, told you about the Covey swindle, all this stuff. It doesn't matter when it's done by those that are occupying your life. And it could be the military. In this case, a lot of it is in the Covey swindle, and the wars we're seeing are so-called that we're seeing. You understand that these political organizations are more likely tools than real nations anymore. And that's why I keep bringing up the Zionist Federation. It's a move, political movement. It's not really a nation of people. And so understand these are tools, and they're being worked with today. I say today in the general. They are not what they seem on the surface, and we have to start to learn to look through that and condemn that, because it's a fraud. All this is a fraud on us, and people are dying around it, as I told you it would happen, as the deception is great, and the need of discernment is great. And some of that, you have to reach into the spiritual side in order to start to pick this up quicker. A lot of people work with what kind of information I give, and they're working hard with it, but they're working too hard. And it's a lot of it's not having a background, because the answers aren't that hard to see. They come real quick when you have the background to use. And that just comes from reading more and finding things, and don't make up what you see in the world. Watch what it does. Watch how it works. Watch the excuses. Watch how it's a hypocrite. Watch how it does all these things. Take note and put them in an order of that you can watch them as a list of identity. So then you know them when you see them. You know them by their deeds. Moving on and into clarifying the record here in the world and trying to keep straight of it all. Again, this Israeli Hamas attack, they call it. I told you it was a jailbreak. They are of an occupying force and an oppression that's going on against them. However you want to describe it, it was said that Iran was partly to blame, if you will, a lot to blame, that their $6 billion was been spent to do that and fortify Hamas and everybody else. But I told you that wasn't the case. If you read around, you start finding the information, and I'm going to follow up a little bit quickly on that and to counter that injustice of a record that's made wrong under just us. The people that are being alleged to be doing wrong need to make a correct record, and this is what I keep telling you all. Well, this happens on the international scale. The injustice caused by the Western malinformation regarding Iran, that $6 billion everyone thinks went to help Hamas, Iran, Qatar. That's not the get box. You don't play music with this one. This is a country. Qatar agree to use freed funds from SWIFT LCs. The governors of the national central banks of the Islamic Republic of Iran and Qatar met at the sidelines of the annual meeting of the International Monetary Fund. Here's some more dots to connect here, folks. Iran is with BRICS, and they're meeting at the IMF. And I told you, there is no multipolar world, ultimately. There's a global banking system. And so Islam is already at the International Monetary Fund here on this issue. The United States is all part of this. This is all part of it. So understand what's really going on here. That money was sitting in the bank accounts that was agreed to by the United States. It wasn't that the Biden administration gave them United States money. The United States stole that money. And this is their agreement to get it back to release some hostages that their government and their justice system said it was spying on that country. And some other things. So, moving on to this story back to correct the record, as I was telling you last week, should have been done by people instead of running with the $6 billion Iran paid Hamas to go, we need to attack Iran. The IMF, them, Qatar and Iran discussed the issues relating to the development of banking cooperation and the joint investments after the transfer of the $6 billion to Iranian banks in Qatar, which has been materialized, and the solutions for developing relations using these sources. So they're still in the works here to be used. Sheikh Bandar bin Mohammed bin Saud Al Thani, the governor of Qatar Central Bank, for his part, emphasized in the meeting, quote, Qatar adheres to all its obligations with Iran, and there is no obstacle in the development of banking relations between the two countries. The Qatar banking chief pointed to the fundamental and good measures that have been taken in the past few days regarding the use of Iran's financial resources in Qatar, saying, quote, "The rumors raised about this in the past 1 or 2 days have no real value and were most likely a joke and a media gossip." Quote, Wally Adeyemo, the deputy treasury secretary, told House Democrats on Thursday that Iran would no longer have access to the funds, according to a person familiar with the matter. You hear that a lot anymore when they're lying to us. Going on the story, the money here from the story, the money was under close supervision and strict conditions that it be used only for humanitarian purposes. Yesterday, the U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken did not confirm the reports about the agreement between the U.S. and Qatar to reblock the Iranian money or a Qatari bank. I want to stop right there for the moment just to say everybody ran with the $6 billion Iran paid to Hamas. And this is where we have to slow up, because the deceivers are out there. All of a sudden he shuts up and he doesn't want to tell you what's going on. And there wasn't anything like what anybody was being told. And you could go do some research and find it out. They're still working out how to use that money. And it's not a violation. And it's going through the IMF, not the BRICS. So understand, it's not a separate world. You got to just see all this stuff. You got to start pulling it together and reassess what you look at in the world. And then it's going to reflect back on us. Again, that carnival mirror. What's going to happen to us in the United States or any in the West, if you will? You're seeing, like I said, they're spitting into the hurricane, which should have been the first clue. And what happens to that and what didn't happen to Russia? It's all part of this stuff here. But, so two U.S. officials need to resign, I think, on all these issues, whether to this lie that they perpetrated, or they need to be removed from office. And those of you who believe in the government line that need to remove the hook you swallowed attached to that line and a crawl out of the swamp that they've got you pulled into. Those of you that believe that Hamas was paid by Iran by the $6 billion, and that was what the money was for, you've really got to rethink what's going on here. Then get you some air once you do that, and understand you're prone to hallucination. And I'm talking this way, I'm not joking. Okay, I'm a little bit joking, but I'm not joking. This is we are a people that's easily pulled. We're groupers. We go after the shiny thing that's been thrown in the water, and we bite. And then they yank us out and they beat us in the head like a big carp. Right? And we support whatever they want to do. We don't have any discernment in us at all. And so we are coming into a time, I've been saying, that we really have to amp that up and stop letting these officials take control of our minds so easily, Vince. And do not miss the important part for those of us anticipating the future where we might need to stand relative to all this. Iran is dealing through the Western IMF and SWIFT, despite it being a BRIC, showing again the future is not multipolar with respect to a fiat currency flows or the existing global financial system. And this fiat currency continues. And this is going to be a big killer for most people who think they're free. The answer, I think, in the global sense would be going, as I've said, hard currency, gold, silver. People need to do that if the governments won't. You need to make the hard cut. And you've watched gold go way down, and because of this altercation in the world, it's come right back up. So I didn't get a whole lot of interest in the mine claim. I'm still trying to move that property. So if you know anybody, I really need to move that property. My condition has not changed. And that interest went way down when that gold price dropped. So it's coming back up, so I'm getting a little bit better to think maybe there might be a better interest. But that's where it's about. That's where a safe haven is, if you will, for value, because all this other stuff is speculation. So keeping the record straight here internationally, the international record being maintained fairly well now. The propaganda machine is not, the Western propaganda machine is not holding sway as much as it used to in the past. I think the other nations are learning to play that game as well. Not that it's propaganda, but at least to keep the record straight. And I think you need to listen to someone like Putin. The Russians aren't messing around. They're not lying to people. So I keep telling you that, and I don't know what else to say to prove it. just don't, they are in no position to lie. And they have a thing to maintain. It's like I tell you folks, you can never be wrong even once. Whatever you do has to be well supported. And this is where Putin is, where Russia is. They can't be wrong once on the real important stuff. So Putin explains in relative to Ukraine why Ukraine rejected the 2013 EU agreement. Understand, in 2014, Maidan massacre happened. The United States took over the democratically voted in government. In 2013, the EU agreement, the EU-Ukraine association agreement, essentially envisioned the death of all Ukrainian industry. Russian President Vladimir Putin has claimed the ratification of the accord. These are important words to listen for. Ratification and accord is international law for certain types of documents. Was put on hold in late 2013, and then President Viktor Yanukovych, which sparked the Maidan coup that led to his overthrow. The new government, the new Ukrainian government, signed the agreement in 2014. So he's explaining that the West has had its eyes on Ukraine and diminishing it from the start. That's no different than austerity, no different what you're seeing happening to Europe. They wanted to do this back in 2013, and it wasn't going over so well. Well, the United States, all its democracy, overthrew the government, and then we have the war today. So don't underestimate the power of having a bad agreement. There's not meeting of the minds, and yet the brute in the world wants it so anyway. You're watching all of the EU, the European Union, that facade of government over the bureaucratic government over the top of Europe. Don't miss all these points. Undermining Europe completely. And then now they're having problems, which in a way I think it's pretty good that they're having problems. They're finding out that all these cultures are different and they all have different needs and demands, and the European bureaucratic union could not ever work. It's why it doesn't work in the United States, but having the United States District of Columbia an oppressor, a federal oppressor, and we don't actually get to the organic states, if we didn't like where we lived and we had a better law in another state, we just picked up and left as people, if that's one of the answers. I don't necessarily like that idea, but that was what we could do. The European Union squashed that entire idea. Europe became one big noise after that, and then subject to its weaknesses. And the governments like the United States took advantage. But speaking to reporters on Friday, Putin said, if you read what the EU proposed to Ukraine, this is what is apparently being realized now, that this was tantamount to the destruction of all the key industries to the Soviet Ukraine once prided itself on. The president added that we now see exactly that there's nothing left there already. And he's not telling you a lie there. And then he had a problem with NATO moved one inch, at least one inch, to the east, and they promised never to do that. And you're hearing all the Russians are saying, every minister is saying, we can't trust the United States. And now we see they use their dollar as a weapon. We're not going to use that either. We're not going to give them any hook on us. And so I think that's a fairly wise thing to look at for us, and start understanding how not to bite the hook. Quit being the grouper, gloms on to ideas that you haven't really researched and understood, and then promotes that through something like social Twitter, direct democracy, and lots of people go down the wrong road. And then it's a delay. If it's not fixed, it's irreparably harmful, and then if it does get fixed, it's a delay. Like I was telling you, Kobe swimming was going to be a delay, and we're seeing that too. The bureaucratic EU then here, if you look on the top of the bureaucrat issue over the top of Europe, is no different than the sustainable change agent in this regard relative to what its supposed agreement would have been with Ukraine in 2013. And so if you pull, this is over a decade now, we're being told, that if you pull this together, you start to see the plan. I mean, it's just another part of the plan. Why am I even talking about it? I don't really care what Putin says over EU and Ukraine, but these are the global plans that we're suffering in every country. And I know we did it because Comey swindle got everyone, but a few of us. And we were nothing. Those who didn't infect, it doesn't infect. And they'll be working on that next time. It's going to be even more heinous what that's going to come out if it comes out. People are going to freak. They start people bleeding from every orifice of their body, they're going to freak. Everybody who thought that they were solid stalwarts of truth against a fear that makes everybody bleed from every orifice is going to freak people out. And then you might find out it's not real true, but then you're not going to be able to tell whether it's organic or not. And that'll freak you out. So be careful on how far they can push this before we freak out. That's what they're waiting for. It's going to be very difficult. And if it's real and you ignore it, you're probably going to die. Maybe that's a good thing. I don't know. But we're supposed to be being an example. And so I'm trying to fight my way through all the muck and mire to just, you know, show there's examples that we could be and how to look to be to do that. And I'm saying that even though I may not agree with Russia or whatever, you know, I don't even really know anymore. We're so screwed up in the United States about our laws. It seems like not to matter, but I think it does. I think there's principles that do matter. And I think we can hold them better in the organic establishment. Not with saying the politics of America, the idea of it, even its ideals, but that's in us. That's our spirit. That I think Putin's, the principles of international equity, if you will, international law and equity principles is what he does well. And that's what we can, that's going to be the same across all the boundaries, actually. So with the sustainable change agents that we see here, where we see that Putin is explaining that the EU accord with Ukraine was to destroy them, make them sustainable. This is where he is saying you will be, this is another statement here, saying you will have nothing and produce nothing and be happy. And so they weren't wrong to deny it, but then they got overthrown. That's another truism in the world. And as long as we have people that are willing to do that to other people, I don't see that any different than what's going on in Gaza. Oppressors that have come in, however they are situated and organized or not, this world is going to be fallen and stay that way, and we're told it is. And for all my hope of being peaceful and good-natured, I don't know how easy that's going to be. I mean, we can hope and pray and extend this thing out, but maybe it's better that it does start to fall apart, and maybe we have to then resort to our little groups until, because it's not, we're not going to be able to save it for ourselves. There's just no way to do that. This whole thing doesn't get saved by the whole thing. And it's only going to be in parts. And that's the way it's really always been anyway. So we have this change agents going on that we're denied. And then, okay, so you don't agree with us. We're just coming to take over. We're going to kill your government. We're going to take over your people. We're going to threaten another country, make them attack us and then blame them. And it's no different than as it is with the techno Nazis loving EU the way it's been working through. Another element of this, as I've told you, it's all over the world, this so-called Nazis. This is a phrase. It's a belief system. And it never went away. And Russia's saying we're going to take it away. Once and for all, we've got 26 million souls that we threw at this thing, and it was supposed to be done. And then the West hit it, and then it's bringing it back out. And it came out in the EU as well. And you see they're embracing Ukraine, now embracing the Israel. There's the same attitude. Remember, don't get confused by saying, oh, the Nazis went after the Jews. No, it was the Zionists that worked with the Nazi government to go after, to use the Jews as warm and fuzzy. We need to protect women, children, and indigenous too, and the Jews here as well. And we need to protect them in a new land. It was all a scam. As you listen to Orthodox Jewish, Judean belief people, they don't agree with Zionists. They say, they tell us that they lived peacefully amongst everybody as long as they didn't get political. And they say they're forbidden to actually become political or stand up. They're fine with living with other people. So this is an anomaly, actually, in history relative to the belief system, the Judean belief system. So here we have a techno-Nazi loving EU is the same here. Zio loving occupied Palestine to me is the same. I don't see a distinction. When you start talking genocide and you start bringing in the Holocaust and the oppressor calls you a Nazi, then you probably are looking at a projection of what those people are pretty clearly. Israel has decided to put off the start of its ground operations against Hamas in Gaza due to adverse weather conditions, the New York Times has claimed. But it remains unclear if the IDF is planning to take control of only part of the densely populated enclave or all of it. And this is being a very interesting story, this delay thing, this delay tactic. I think when Iran stepped up and Hezbollah stepped up and all the different axis of resistance stepped up, Israel decided they were going to have to think a little bit harder on their vulnerabilities. And we're watching now, and I hope it's permanent, we're watching this delay now of making the boots on the ground inside of Gaza. Again, they're talking no different than Russia is doing to Ukraine there. Israelis will be walking into a meat grinder. They're getting destroyed by aircraft, but that's not how they knew that. They knew they were going to get hit like that. They're not done yet. Hamas is not done. So it remains unclear if the IDF is planning to take the control of only part of the densely populated enclave. Well, they're already in control of the whole thing. They're occupiers of the whole thing. Otherwise, they couldn't do this. And so let's not be careful here, but we're looking at this now hesitation, this hiccup, and they're going to destroy Gaza and take it out. And this is part of a different plan, too. So let's hold that open. But there is also a big question mark over whether Israelis are going to run Gaza or install a new Palestinian administration should they succeed in removing Hamas from power, it wrote. Wow, that's pretty interesting, isn't it? You come in and put your own government. The one that you just took out was the one you put in before. But removing Hamas sounds as if it was cut from the is-us apron strings in favor of the Palestinian cause. This is what I was telling you. Hamas may have seen this coming and said, we have the Palestinian cause to fight for. We're an organization not going to just give up. So ISIS was saying, my theory, if you will, the theory, was that they cut the strings before they were cut out. And we're going to hear a little bit of a story coming up. This may have been what's going on. What we're not going to be able to know is which side was going to cut first. And I think Hamas moved first, and that's caused a bunch of trouble. So the weather is a good excuse here for delaying this ground offensive against, apparently, if you read enough, a very prepared Hamas, certainly a very prepared Hezbollah. And so it's better than saying that the weather is better than saying that when Iranian Foreign Minister Hussein Imar Abdollahian warned on Saturday that this country would respond should Israel go ahead with ground operations in Gaza. Well, Israelis don't want to admit that would have been a threat to them, or to know that the growing Arab world threat of multi-front warfare needs a couple more days of planning. And it's been a whole lot more days. It's almost been over a week now. They keep throwing out little things. There's even Biden showed up. I guess maybe we'll get to it. Biden showed up. That was another excuse. So the weather has stopped them. Apparently their jets don't work well in clouds, which the technology I understand the jets have nowadays and the improvements they've done over there in Israel to the F-16, that's not really a problem. Neither here nor there. They're not going in it right now. And I'm glad for it to hear it because those people in Palestine, the Gaza, don't need to be genocided. But that's not stopping the Israelis at all. All the land there is not possessed by the Palestinians, and they are in the way is part of the apron string problem. The regional players, that would include Iran too. They won't talk Iran. Iran is an out player or someone who's in opposition. There's a whole, I got a link coming. Someone who's done an analysis. There's all kinds of national, regional plays and things that nations want through there, and the Palestinians are in the way. They would want this to be done. And so everyone plays their part, so to speak, in order to get it done. But the Palestinians have been, literally, they don't have land there. It's been taken from them. I've showed you, if you go to international law and the law of the land there, and you go to the ownership and the records, which likely have been, a lot of it's been destroyed, you'll find that their land was stolen from them. So we have an invader. And so you start putting this complexion on the lipstick pig that the Israelis are making, and you start realizing there's a different story to tell. The Palestinians in their own land will have nothing, and like it is how this is playing out. This is no different than you hear Klaus Schwab, you have nothing and like it. Sound familiar? Yeah. Absolutely haven't you noticed the same type of people planning genocide in the semi-Palestinian are the same type running the plundering, sustainable, financial, new, ordered world. I want you to think about that. It's not hard to see, and that's the same model over and over. And I've been explaining all this, and you are and I've been also saying, look at the open-air prison of the Palestinian, and you are the Palestinian and live in an open-air prison warded over by the same type of people globally, whether you see it or don't. I don't know how many times I've mentioned this and proved it and shown you the document, explained it and read it, and this is not to be dismissed. And I don't know of many things that can protect you, but then locally, positioning yourself locally with a knowledge of the black and white and the limitations of the governments that exist, if there is one, is there is a limitation in your country. In the United States, we have some pretty formidable things, and I did point them out over and over and over again. So this attack, this is the Zio animal, the Nazi animal, they want to project onto the Palestinians that they're animals. And now Hamas is a Nazi group. It's none of this is just rhetoric. The Zio-Nazi animal of the world now, nations allow this to exist. The neo-Holocaust is now in the open. See, I don't see this any different when you have Dutch farmers being told they can't use their land to grow food, which is the second largest producer of food to the world. You have to understand you all live in an open-air prison that's deemed planned to be your Holocaust. And I know the rabbis will have as possession the word Holocaust. I don't think I'm underestimating this problem. As we see the IDF strike hitting Gaza evacuation convoys. They tell the people to move, and then they came in and beat them, hit them with bombs, and then denied it. Said Hamas did it. The IDF called the evacuation order a humanitarian step. Dozens of people, mostly women and children, have been injured and killed in Israeli airstrikes on evacuation convoys fleeing Gaza City. The humanitarian body, OCHA, said several vehicles of those evacuating the north were hit, killing more than 40 people and injuring 150 others, citing data from health officials in the Hamas-governed Palestinian enclave. Again, Hamas is the governing body, not just a bunch of militant extremists. They have two functions. They're the governing body and they have the military. So you look at the United States, it has a governing body and it's got a military. They're all made of the citizens of the Palestinians. They're like the United States has all made of the citizens of the country. Some more singularly devoted than others. These incidents prompted many people to abandon their evacuation efforts and return home. The UN agency added, as heavy Israeli bombardments from the air, sea, and land have continued almost uninterrupted. And this is an older story. I think over the week it has been uninterrupted. In fact, they have not ceased in any bombardment whatsoever. They're almost maybe running out of places to bomb that aren't the most heinous to bomb at this point. And because of this, the title here, Israel has lost my sympathy. EU States President Croatian Zoran Milanovic says the bombing of civilians in Gaza has gone beyond self-defense. Having the Croatian foreign ministry fly an Israeli flag was idiotic and inappropriate, President Zoran Milanovic said on Friday, adding that the atrocities by Hamas do not give Israel the right to bomb civilians for revenge. And what did I say last week? It was embarrassment revenge. So right with the news here, leading it a bit, and then we get the words from the people who are involved and having to make decisions. But I want to point out something. They're allowing to Israel the right to do this, the right of defense. And I want to remind us all, if we haven't really paid attention, I haven't seen many people talk about it. No, the fraud does not have a right of self-defense. And anyone saying otherwise is morally reprehensible, and one justice eschews immediately, if not sooner, if you want to know about that, justice will spit fraud out. It's supposed to spit it out before it even touches its lips. If you want to find out a little bit more about that principle, go read a good book on equity jurisprudence. What is the title of that? Maybe it's Gibson's Treatise on Chancery. Go look in archive.org, I think it is. It's 1915 or 1907 book. Go read it. You'll see all this principle here. It does all this fraud that's going on. If there was justice in the world, it wouldn't exist. There would be a judge that had the power to shut it down. And that judge, now we get from the secular side to the spiritual side, that judge is sitting there watching. We're told, I can only hope. I can only pray. The injustice that's going on is reprehensible. So anybody who believes that fraud has a right of self-defense in this case, Israel, is claiming the right of self-defense, when you look at the history of the what's going on, the antics, the charade, the facade that's gone on around what the state, so-called state of Israel is, it's a fraud. It does not have the right of self-defense. It certainly does not have the right to take a bunch of people who lived on the land and shove them down into a little open-air prison and then go bomb it into rubble. That's not a peaceful intent at all. If no one can see that yet, I don't know. So no, fraud does not have a right of self-defense. So reframe this whole thing. Israel claims the right. Oh, Biden says, oh, they have the right. Countries say they have the, Israel has the right. No, you don't. You're fraud. You don't have the right. Fraud has no rights. And once I've said that, now it's up to them to figure out how to prove different. I don't know how they're going to do that. No, they do this excuses. Iran slams Israeli attacks on journalists. See, it doesn't end with these folks, this fraud, under color of a country, recognized by almost all the nations, and not favorably so, all of them. So understand there are these nations that don't agree, but they're so impotent that it doesn't matter. And the potent ones are super potent, and they are making it matter. But Iran's getting up there where they can defend themselves, or at least they think so. In a way, I hope everybody can defend themselves, right? So it's not a discussion on my opinion on all these folks and what they're doing and the heinous things governments do. I said governments kill people, so I don't support that at all. And however the machinations are, they do that. But imprison people inhumanely. You hear me enough in the United States where we're supposed to be the beacon of rights and law and remedy. You hear me enough just to know that I'm not beholden to a lot of government. At this point, we are the people. We're supposed to be the government, and we haven't been. You know, we pretend that we go through our democracy to do so, and we don't have a clue. And shamefully, so in a way. But here we go. Iran slams Israeli attack on journalists. Vehicle in Lebanon's folks. Lebanon, Iran is complaining about Lebanon being attacked by Israel. Think about where this Israeli people are doing, and why journalists. Interesting. Foreign minister spokesperson has condemned the attack by Israeli regime against a vehicle carrying journalists in southern Lebanon that led to the death of one of them. Nasser Kaani issued a condemnation on Friday, hours after the Israeli regime's artillery attack that targeted the vehicle in the Lebanese village of Alma al-Sha'ab, killing one. Five others were also injured in the attack, including an Al Jazeera photographer. Last year, a Zionist sniper gunned down Shireen Abu Akleh, targeting the veteran Al Jazeera journalist with a live armor-piercing bullet. So, this is going after your communication system in another country that Israel's doing. This is not peaceful people. They want to claim war, and then they want to reach out and touch and kill journalists first. They know what the line of attack is. This is in Lebanon, no less, now. Oh, Hezbollah's sitting up there. So they're proving they don't care about Hezbollah a bit. But they're not targeting the Hezbollah military in the instance that they're targeting journalists, are they? Because we're going to hear a lot of this tit-for-tat stuff going on up there. Oh, did I? No, it's only a three-letter word. Okay. If Israel will target and kill the press, your right to acquire information is online here. And this is what Israel is intending to do. So what sort of freedom of expression does anyone think they have in the democracy, called the only democracy in the Middle East, in the Zionist Federation, intends the repression and silencing of all opposition? They want to say it's a democracy. Where's the right of freedom of expression? And this is another country. These are just the people that would gather information, and they're targeting. And the United States agrees to this oppression, in this democracy, so-called, our democracy. You got to ask them who is this our? It doesn't include me, I can tell you that. Maybe it doesn't include my listener, and that's our problem, because they're including us, and we're not saying anything else. Understand, this is the same United States that agrees in this our democracy and the oppression of Julian Assange, as I opened up the broadcast with that. This is just another way to take out. A journalist. The United States agrees, and so goes your First Amendment in the occupied territory known as the United States of America. And I don't see here anybody, people have been talking about this for years, how we are an occupied people. And how? I've read the documents. I've shown you it hasn't been free. Lincoln was a lawyer, another just us guy, and they reset this place, and nobody really understood and saw. Though they focus on, people will focus on the Act of 1871, like that's the bee's knees of, oh, how it got done. No, it's been going on in other ways, in other fashions and continuing. And so, and we've never, as a people, we've never stopped it. And Lincoln proved we may not be able to stop it. He won. We didn't. Just us won. The people didn't. I hope you understand that. So to me, it doesn't matter how many people have guns or that. It doesn't matter. They figured out a way to stop the people. And they figured out a way to divide the people. And the people are gullible and are dividable. And that's how it all works. When you're watching how that methodology gets taken out, right now the lens of communication are being taken out. You're journalists. And what I say they're doing over there, and you understand that Israel is a tool for the United States, they're doing over here. That carnival mirror is working. And that's notwithstanding any law that we might know to the contrary. And this continues because you stand by and allow it, and the government usurpers take that silence as their license to continue to oppress you and deprive you of the opportunity for a fruitful pursuit of happiness or property. You'll have none, and you'll like it. The United States is up with that. Israel is clearly up with that. Let's flatten Gaza. Don't live there, give them any, but oh, move off into the Sinai. Well, they can go into the Nevada, or whatever desert right there. No, they're not going to do that. So, this is a plan. And it's just wondering who the string pullers are on this one. And no, as I'll say, I'll repeat it again. No, fraud does not have a right of defense. And I don't see anything that says that Israel, the Zionist Federation construction of a state, is anything but fraud. And so the European Union has to come out and clarify itself. The EU reveals position on Israel-Gaza war, affirming the EU's commitment to a lasting and sustainable peace based on two-state solution through reinvigorated efforts in the Middle East peace process. The statement called for a continued engagement with the, quote, legitimate Palestinian authorities and their local, their regional and international partners. Now you tell me right off the bat, why the Palestinian people haven't already have legitimate parties with Hamas. You'll notice that the envoys are going to Israel to decide what to do with things, people in Gaza. It's as if Palestinians don't exist. Their government doesn't exist. Where's the EU to impose regional and international partners on this decision? Shows you they're part of the plan. This is dissing and condemning democracy, notwithstanding what we might say about the United States. In saying that it would only deal with legitimate Palestinian authorities, as if Hamas isn't representative elected government, or controlled additionally, these people want to control that additionally through the continuing foreign collusion. They say, and their regional and international partners. What does that have to do with the Palestinian people, and why impose a two-state solution? See, that's not been asked of the Palestinians either. Now, they may want a state, but this has been one of the questions. Do they really want a state? Why don't you just leave them alone? Why don't you take the Zionist Federation out of there and leave those folks alone? Was not an option. Don't the Palestinians as a people, we can identify them, whether they're, whatever their religious belief, whether they're the Palestinian Christians or the Muslims or others, aren't they a self-determined, don't they have the right of unfettered right of self-determination? I mean, if a fraud has the right of self-defense, wouldn't the Palestinians have the right of unfettered right of self-determination? But they don't have it. And this tells you that they're occupied people, and it's a plan. They aren't going to give the option to do that. Didn't they have, on the other hand, didn't they have the right to be free from the invasion of their lands? Or didn't they have the right of a say, of being in favor of a foreign occupier, which Europe itself, not the EU, Europe aided and abetted against them? And if the Palestinians don't, what does my listener think of your chances wherever you might be, relative to your rights. And I'm just telling you, and you know, a lot of people just shrugged their shoulders and laughed at what I just said, and said, it's the justice system. You admitted to being an occupied people, no different than the Palestinians. If you don't feel you have the rights and you have to go fight for things that were supposed to be rights, you're not living in the country that was set up to be protected and to be kept. That's on the people. I don't have the full answer on that. I got a little bit of insight. But this is us. We're watching Palestinians are us. It just doesn't look like it because we're not being as obviously devastated unless you go to Detroit and you watch the devastation in that place and you start to see more of what's going on. In places, I understand and seen pictures, it looks like a war zone because of the policies and the angle this country went, the United States went. You think that these psychopaths agreeing to the final sustainable solution, listen to the consistency of the words here, the sustainable solution in this article, care about you more than that you are in the way, just like the Palestinians? You carbon criminal? Do you understand the consistencies with how this thing is going down? It's everybody, actually. Right now, the Palestinians are taking the brunt of it. Their lives are being spent to expose to us what's globally happening. We've watched, in the United States, we've watched the overthrow of our lands and our way of life. The pursuit of happiness or property actually is what that was. And we all watched it. And we're continuing to watch it. We think it's happening over there. And the whole entire time it's been happening to us as well. This is long before what's been going on in Gaza. But long before what happened over in Palestine. And so now we get the name callers, again, the ones that are projecting, the psychopaths that are projecting. Again, remember they called you the carbon criminal. They call you, they say you're the one that's the problem. And they're the one that go hypocritically, you laugh at them or you get angry at them or whatever you want to do. But they totally disregard what they say you're doing, and they do it themselves. I don't know why that doesn't get shut down, but Iran, a Nazi regime, says Israel. You go to the psychopaths, the people that are occupying and destroying a people, and they call another nation a Nazi regime when they are the ones that were created by a Nazi regime, the current currents of a Nazi regime. Iran supporters of Hamas make it culpable in the last Saturday's attack, Israeli envoy said to UN, to the UN said. Now this is again the support of Hamas. It's just the verbal support apparently was made a country culpable. As how high a level of deceit goes on with these psychopathic, bloodthirsty psychopathic killers. What actually makes Iran culpable, along with the rest of the world, is they've allowed an unlawful occupier to oppress, it seems to me, which the envoy represents, to continue to exist in the world. And so at some level, no, they don't have a right of self-defense. They are bloodthirsty psychopaths who will look at everybody else and say, they're the criminal, they're what we are, we're not anything but the chosen and the pure, and while they go and destroy people. Fascinating. This is what cancel culture does. Israeli ambassador to the United Nations, Gilad Erdan, has said in an interview with the Iranian media that the current administration in Tehran is exhibiting behavior similar to that of Nazi Germany. Couldn't that be said of Israeli? Couldn't that be said of Ukraine? Couldn't that be said of anybody that supports those two? I don't see what the argument now is at all. Everyone's doing the same thing, isn't it? It depends on your angle. The Ayatollah regime today is exactly like the Nazi regime during World War II. Exactly, folks. Exactly. And so this is just statements thrown out there to try and persuade people not to believe that there's any culpability at all in what Israel's doing. So you look at looking for anything to call the actual intended target, which is even more important here. The United States, through Israel, and whatever they think they were going to do with Hamas, wants Iran. That's that list of countries that they were after, including Syria and Libya and Afghanistan. We've lost about every one of them, caused messes if we didn't lose completely. And now they're looking at Iran with a cold, steely eye. So they give Iran a defaming name. Which, to me, is like they are the pot kettle that dealt with the Nazi kettle, to put Iran in the place where the Zionazis are conducting another final solution over Gaza and the Palestinian problem. No, they're in the way. This time with the help and concurrence with most of the world, even Russia, if you look carefully and listen. The professed denazifier. Again, they're on record saying, oh, Israel has the right of self-defense. Well, that's a fraud. They don't. And you can say that Iran looks like exactly like Nazi. Well, it seems like every government can be looked at that way. Certainly, the Israeli government at this point genociding Gaza. It's just a different form of Holocaust. Erdogan told Iran International that Hamas leaders have publicly expressed gratitude to Tehran for providing weapons and funding, which he said negates any requirement for Iran's direct involvement in the attack to be proven. So we can take advantage of whatever we want to do. There's no proof of it. And Iran is saying they're not doing it. In fact, they're going to work through proxies, aren't they? Everyone knows everyone works through proxies. They're telling everybody, well, the axis of resistance is going to come in on you, Israel, if you go in on the ground in Gaza. And all of a sudden now we get the excuses they're not going to invade. And this is said to Iran, which could be said of Zionists and the U.S. and Britain, His Majesty, who's starting this whole thing, Europe and NATO and Ukraine supporting the Nazis, and worse, in Kanukistan. Don't forget, we're up against those principalities and powers. This is the other side of the secular part. This is beyond people. So I have to say, if I haven't yet, apparently said, you haven't dismissed, and I hope you haven't dismissed what I've explained in prior broadcasts and still listening. A lot of people don't want to listen to this stuff, but it's sitting there to be reproven to oneself. One does not have to be a pro-Palestinian, a pro-Hamas, pro-Arab, Persian, Jew, etc. to condemn what the Zionist Federation is doing and by plan. And this is getting us into the other canard that they throw at. You are being like anti-something or pro-somebody else to be anti-us. And that's not exactly what you're saying, but this is the other part of the propaganda. The name I use, Zionist Federation, is not because I say so, but because His Majesty, a party to the crime, identified the other party in whose benefit he acts as such just before invading Palestine in favor of a political movement, not the Jews. The Jews are dupes, but the Zionist Federation, a political movement. I didn't say that. That came from the documents. And so I look very strictly at them. And I think what we're seeing is what goes around comes around here. I guess we could say that. The Zionistas duped the Jews and Hamas just duped the Zionistas. Yeah, I guess we could also say turnabout is fair play. So we have the Zio-Nazi whiners right now blaming Iran. Yeah, maybe there is a statement to be blaming Iran, but it's not because the state of Israel does. If they're going to blame Iran, it's because they're all involved. They all have their regional power struggles going on, their own game going on, that they all want part of a piece of something. And at this point, Palestinians are in the way. And I just understood, I think I read somewhere, there's gas in Palestine. If they're not going to give them the offshore stuff, right outside their gate there, there's gas down there. And so it made sense that they are trying to get rid of that, and get rid of those people because they're going to have more petroleum. And we're supposed to be carbon neutral, right? So we think about how this still connects, and yet in other parts of the world, they identify Israel as a Nazi regime, and additionally, as I detailed last week from the historic record, that this is the case. Israel and Colombia in diplomatic spat over Gaza conflict. This is now developing over all this. Colombian Foreign Minister Alvaro Leyva said Monday that Israel's ambassador to Bogota, Gali Dagan, should apologize and leave the country after criticizing the position taken by President of Colombia, Gustavo Petro, on the IDF-Hamas conflict in Gaza. This is not Palestine versus Israel. No, this is a two military operation. I think clearly stated in one regard there as well. Colombia's leader, is in response to the Israeli announced a total blockade of Gaza, including the ban on food, electricity, and fuel. He wrote that this is what the Nazis said about the Jews, noting that democratic societies cannot allow Nazism to reestablish itself in an international politics, and that a discourse of hate would bring a holocaust. So it's not the guy behind the woodshed just saying this stuff weeks ago. The big deal ambassadors and officials in other governments are watching how Israel is no different than the Nazis, while Israel says that the Iranians are behaving as Nazis. Fascinating, again, turnabout, I guess, is fair play. And now we get to the point where we see this cover going on, all the finger pointing. Somebody wrote up along the lines, but a little different, along the lines of what I was saying about the apron strings being cut. Potential modification here when you read this, and I hope you can find, I'm giving you the link to the translated version. But if you don't have Google on, you only see the, I think it's Russian, I see, text. But it'll translate it. When I allow Google, I can see the English, and you can read that. But potential modification to what appeared to me regarding the question of surprise and this Hamas cutting of the aprons, is us creators here. This next insight on this page called Project offers the other end of the apron string that may be causing the cutting, or whom is doing the cutting, or threatened to cut Hamas's apron strings. And so I think I was on the right track for as far away as all this as I have been, but this offers an insight on what's going on there, and it's a whole lot more than I guess many of us would even think maybe it's not our lives, but if Hamas found out they were going to be cut because the regional players found out Hamas was in the way, they may have moved first. And this brings up a whole other level of gameplay. It's not a game, of play, of strategy, of tactics, a whole other level of why we would see how silent it went. They didn't use technology. They kept it word, hand to mouth, if you will. Because Hamas was being targeted first, not just the Palestinian people. The Hamas became no longer useful as any collaborator. This also follows the model. So I'm going to give a little bit up for this in the idea that it wasn't as complete. Well, my idea wasn't so complete on who the players would be, just that it didn't look like that Israel knew that Hamas could have caused a secret to them. Because their survival mode as well. This would give an external reason, which may or may not work to be the cause, but it is plausible. As I read here from it, Project October 11, 2023, it is probably possible to express a version of what happened on Saturday in Israel based on the results of the past few days. The further it goes, the more I personally stop doubting. First, animinesis. This is a memory, the historical reference of this. Hamas is somewhat a specific terrorist group, the main difference of which is that it is a servant of many masters at once. Ideologically, it is supported by Turkey. Keep track of all these players, because this got really interesting. And it just throws a big question mark up on which direction was this going to come, and did Hamas actually surprise everybody? And now we're into it, right? Because of everyone's not going to have to move without the plan. Coming from the external side. After all, it says here, they are Muslim brothers, and after the collapse of the Ikhwans in Egypt, this is generally the only group of this trend that has a small territory and therefore some rudiments of subjectivity. Financially, Hamas is supported by Qatar, not Iran, Qatar, which is moving its gas projects to Europe and is extremely interested in any instrument in this part of the region, especially after the collapse of the project in Libya and Egypt. The military leadership supply and training of Hamas is Iran, and more precisely the IRGC. Iranians don't care that Hamas is Sunni, and not just Sunni, but a specific sect. You have to look at that, the difference between the two, Shia and Sunni. There's total differences, but there's a similarity because they're Muslim. And so, again, it's all these playing things, all these details are pretty interesting. A little bit too much for me at some level with everything else that's going on in my life. But if you don't keep track of what's going on here, we may miss a whole important reason, maybe how Hamas pulled this off and why. And maybe they're, again, this is the survival mode generally for Hamas. The main thing is that the Muslim brothers are the mortal enemies of the Saudis. And for this reason alone, it's not bad to have the opportunity to periodically pick at the phantom pains of your regional enemy. The bitter fate of the Palestinians, all of them deeply do not care about, although, of course, correct and good words are spoken out loud. No time for you, good guys. We have our own troubles. In other words, they will speak to you, all these regional players speak highly of the hurt that's going on the Palestinians, but there's no mind to them. They're in the way. They're just a fodder. They're incidental to what actually has to go on. There's more to read here. I don't have the time to cover it all. Fascinating insight. But it still brings me back to the idea, what I was feeling more than Israel let themselves be played. I think there was going to be, one way or the other, Hamas and Palestine was gone. And Palestine, I think, may have said, we've got the Palestinian cause and we can use that to survive. And that enters us into a war, but that becomes regional, and everyone now has to enter in, and everyone has to be very careful about entering it. So this could be a very brilliant move beyond, I think, what I was even considering relative to the pressure from the outside and how little value Palestine, even Hamas is just Palestinians, even how little value in general the world has for the Palestinian people. And so this is a very interesting sadness in a way, and a very interesting dynamic built into the what we're watching. Then we see this, again, connecting the Nazi thing with Israel directly. We always get this hesitation and question of whether who's fighting in Ukraine. They're coming back to Israel now. Over the past three days, more than 2,000 military specialists with Israeli citizenship have left or awaiting departure from Ukraine via Boryspil International Airport on specially designated aircraft from Kiev, to Tel Aviv, Israel. We remind you that Boryspil Airport has been closed for civilian crafts. Israeli and Ukraine Christian attacks have been the same here when you look at this. And there's no difference in who they persecute, Israel or Ukraine. Just look at the Christian churches, now the hospitals, being destroyed. Look at the mosques being destroyed. You see the destruction of the Orthodox Christianity in Ukraine. Israeli fighters are there in Ukraine fighting against Russia and the Christian churches. So, again, if Israel envoy wants to look at Iran about Nazi behavior, we're looking at it through these other countries as well, but we now have a direct connection of that the Israeli specialists, the fighters, military, are coming back home to fight and defend their country, the so-called. And I have a reprint, I have a second posting of that in case you can't find the first one on Telegram. I sometimes have trouble. But we just find out Israel's fighters have been in Ukraine fighting with the Americans against the Russians, and they believe in a genocide of the Slavic people, again, to the last Ukrainian as well. On the west side, or the, it can't be the west side yet, but on the western supported side, the overthrow side. And getting into the bombing here, we have a recent Greek Orthodox church being hit in Gaza, showing that last picture, you'll see a menorah, proves that they believe they've put the cover, the plausible cover of a religiosity on it, the Zio-religious, tying together, we also have tying together the idea that there's Judeo-Christianity, and I've told you that doesn't exist. As I said last week, there's no such thing. Read the Bible, read what's going on, read what those people think, read the history. They'll deny it. They'll call you all kinds of names when you come up with this and figure it out. But there is no such thing as a joined religiosity. The last picture you'll see in that, if you get that link, shows the menorah. They're promoting themselves to be religious. So this is now, and this is the fighter, supposedly, that are going after the Russians, which are Orthodox Christianity. So don't underestimate this continuing non-secular battle going on right in front of us as we hear that the Greek Orthodox Church of St. Porphyrios in Gaza was bombed by Israel. And this was after, it took a little bit to figure this out, this is last week or so, it was said to be bombed, and that was a false report. Now it's been bombed. And there's a confirmation of that church bombing, that Greek Orthodox, now Christian church, bombed a congressman, Amash, who had his relatives killed in that church. Now, Israel says, oh, they were just attacking some Hamas installation next door to it. However, they destroyed, I think it's one of the third oldest churches in the world. Again, just, I don't even know where to say. I guess I'm a little bit beholden to our historical cultures, and no matter whether you like the culture or not, our ancestry is important to be able to witness and feel. And if you've been around old stuff, there's a certain, it communicates something. I don't know what it is all totally, but the ages speak to us through the things that maintain themselves, and it's just now been destroyed by Israel. It's supposed to be denying that they're not causing genocide of killing every other religion, so-called. Again, Congressman Amash's relatives, I've heard report that 20 other Christian churches have been destroyed, and another report, and I'll have to leave these as unconfirmed, the hospitals that has now been threatened, the latest one has over 12,000 people sheltering at it with over 400 or 500 patients in it, and Israel just said they're going to bomb that too. Now you tell me why. As we move in, standing with Israel while they do all this, ostensibly peace-loving Modi embraces such evil. Remember last week, we stand in unity with Israel. Modi shocked by the attack of Gaza hospital. It was a Christian hospital, Baptist hospital. New Delhi has reacted to the deadly hospital attack in the Palestinian enclave that left over 500 people dead. The Al-Ali Arab Hospital is a Baptist Christian hospital. And if you haven't been able to identify the trees in this forest, this is what's going on. And you see the same thing going on in Ukraine. I don't think it's inconsequential. It's been reported here that there's 20 other churches are being destroyed. And so Israel claims that they're going after the Hamas, but I haven't found any proof of that at all. Modi offered his heartfelt condolences to the families of the victims and prayed for the speedy recovery of those who were injured in the attack. Civilian casualties on the ongoing conflict are a matter of serious and continuing concern, Modi noted, adding that those involved should be held responsible. Well, Modi, as I pointed out last week, is a colonialist prostitute. If you listen to last week, you'll see why I'm saying that. Modi encouraged the Zionista atrocity when not condemning the open-air prison before even this happened. Instead, now he stands in solidarity with Israel. Why? Because of the technology and the economy, the economic power that they have if they deal with Israel, the way Israel works on their surveillance stuff, to oppress their own people, not any different than the Brits did to the Indian people before this. All these people and their ilk are incorrigible. There's just... I don't know what else to do. Just keep reading. You see how this works, how they are. They support each other. Now he's shocked. What did he expect? Israeli envoy to India, Naor Gilon, said in a video statement released on Wednesday, adding that his country has a clear-cut evidence that the rocket was launched by radicals that took out this hospital. What are you going to say? They're just liars. There would be no way that Hamas would do that. And this is what happened. Same stories go on in Ukraine. Same thing. And so I suppose we can take the word of the Zio Nazi war criminals, huh? You think so? Really? And so someone's put together a list of war crimes going on over there. And it's unqualified again, but it's interesting to read. Crimes qualifying genocide committed by Israel in Gaza between 7 and 14th October 2023 by Yanis Varoufakis. And he can read about it. I just wanted to point it out. Someone's put it together. There are a couple things I would hesitate to say. You'd have to go in a little bit deeper, but he gives a good list of things that you cannot deny should not be done by someone who intends peace, who intends to watch out for the civilians. And this is that's the dividing line. If there's a dividing line, it's right there. And Israel violates every idea of any decency relative to protecting people, relative to not approaching the line of crime, war crime. But that's not, none of this is fooling Russia. Russia says masks are off after U.S. vetoes UNSC resolution on our Israel-Palestine ceasefire. The United States showed its true intentions when it vetoed the UN Security Council resolution seeking a humanitarian pause in the Israel-Hamas war. Russia Deputy Permanent Representative to the United Nations, Dmitry Polyansky, said on Wednesday, "The masks are off. No matter how hard the Americans tried to appear as peacekeepers, they ultimately failed. A huge foreign policy failure for Washington," Polyansky stressed. On Monday, the UN Security Council rejected a Russian-drafted resolution calling for a humanitarian ceasefire in the Palestinian-Israeli conflict. No different than what goes on in Ukraine. There was a peace deal signed. The United States said it wouldn't, the United States no less, said it wouldn't agree, and that thing went into the dustbin of history, as Putin told us, and Lavrov said, "I've reported on all this." Same model. Who do you think's running the show here? The masks off. Russians are not fooled. And to further confirm the huge foreign policy failure, Zionazi U.S. Treasurer on Monday, Janet Yellen, said Washington could afford to support Israel's military needs as well as Ukraine's. She insisted that the financial resources of the U.S. are sufficient to back its allies abroad. A two-war front. I've been telling you, they want you, your sons and daughters, in war. It's not just that. They just appropriated money for Taiwan. Three-war front. They're going to Indonesia. Four potential war front. We don't have answers in this country, United States of America, and they need a war to cause an extension onto the economic failure that they've created. All these folks, Janet Yellen, all these folks are the dual citizens that are running this place. I don't think Biden has anything to do with it. Israel asked the U.S. for emergency now, $10 billion. However, the official acknowledged concerns over the potential economic impact on a wider conflict in the Middle East. So they're keen to the fact that this thing's going to explode. Now, the idea is maybe they want that. I'm not so sure, but we'll watch. I don't have anything more to say. But Israel asked for, not bashful, asked for $10 billion more. And would we expect, again, a Zionista Federation backer and a Zionazi banker to determine the months she sees flying out of the American full faith and credit? The money that comes out of the full faith and credit purse? Is she willing to see that it really doesn't exist? See, that's on the back of the Americans. She says we have plenty of money for two fronts. She's not having to pay the bill. This is fiat system. $10 billion now, $4.5 billion just last week, $100 billion in humanitarian, $100 million only went to your Palestinians, not for defense, but for coping with the war crimes of the Zionistas that were given the $4.5 billion to go bomb them. And Yellen says, oh, we got more money. But it's on the full faith and credit. There's like no limit to this corruption, this fraud. So I say if we cleave the fiat from the people and go back to gold and silver, they have to start taking that as an asset. They have to get it from somewhere. They have to have it. They can't take it as a debt. They can't go on forever. But this is all supporting this, it's just an evil in the world. And the United States is driving it. This wouldn't happen. Again, Ukraine doesn't fight if the United States is not there. Israel would be dried up quick if the United States was not there. I was astonished how much money flows there. But here with the rubber stamp of the Zionist U.S. Treasurer Secretary, U.S. becoming directly involved in Israel, and here listen carefully with the historic reference and think about the economic oppression Americans faced. Then, as Biden prefers Israel to America. When we read, Pentagon orders 2,000 U.S. troops ready for deployment. But they are being deployed now. That's what going to back up the Navy that just went. What do you think's going on here, folks? When the U.S. rushed weapons into Israel following the successful Arab, now it's just an Arab sneak attack on October 6, 1973. See, the parties just changed. In 1973, look at the historic reference here, where we are right now. Arab oil exporting nations declared an embargo against several Western nations, tripling the price of oil and triggering a profound economic shock. As Israel prepares for a ground assault on the Gaza Strip, the Pentagon has quietly ordered roughly 2,000 troops to prepare for deployment to Israel. Now, I left out of that story when you can read more that these would be non-combatant roles, they tell us, just like Ukraine. As we hear, the assertion is not necessarily the truth in Ukraine or in other places, to the contrary, that the U.S., the U.K., French forces are there or under a euphemistic cover, and all that's kept a secret. So that's what's going on in Ukraine is going to be coming to Israel. Your sons and daughters are now on the move. If they weren't in bases across, they're now going right into Israel. This is an interesting play as well. Besides Biden and Netanyahu want to say Iranian support of the Axis of Resistance is sufficient to bring Iranian into direct engagement, how much less the U.S. Is now with their national troops on the ground in any capacity in Israel. Hypocrites is us. I-S-U-S. Is us. Israel and the United States. I have titles of this in the past broadcast. In October 18, 1973, this list for the historical context, what we might be looking at again, but worse, way worse, the way the condition is in this nation, the United States. In October of 1973, the United States rushed urgently needed weapons into Israel after Egypt and Syria launched a successful sneak attack on the IDF. The Arab world responded with a boycott of petroleum sales to the United States and several other Western nations that had supported Israel. The boycott lasted for 6 months, at the end of which the price of crude oil had increased 300% and Western capitalist economies were in recession. That went over for over 10 years and you were looking at 22% interest rates. There you are, folks. This is where we are. You think it's only going to go 300%? You think of the National Fuel Reserve and the military not having fuel now, because that's what that National Strategic Reserve is all about. It's all drawn down. You think that's helping us? Your sons and daughters are going to die, and economic hardships will be foisted upon you because the United States believes the late 1800s psychopathic Zionista Federation, not my words, His Majesty's words, the name, a deceptive political movement intent on committing war crimes is more valuable than you or your sons and daughters or America. And don't let anybody ever describe this any different. This is playing out just like what happened in 1973, but it's going to be way worse. As we read, U.S. conducts underground explosion at nuclear test site. Saber-rattling or for real? Now, this is an interesting problem. I couldn't find an actual nuclear test here. They do say high explosive that they tested. And what they're saying that they're doing is testing a system to identify global nuclear testing explosions. The United States government conducted an underground explosion at a nuclear testing site in Nevada only days after Russian Parliament ratified the country's exit from international treaty prohibiting all nuclear tests. Now, you have to understand, I'll read another paragraph. The Nevada National Security Site experiment on Wednesday included chemical, high explosives, and radio tracers, according to a statement from the United States Department of Energy's National Nuclear Security Administration. This seems to be plausible cover to me. The United States did the test actually on the same day of whatever the fulfillment in Russia happened, and you have to understand that was planned, okay? If there was this whole thing was working the whole entire time to get here to be able to detonate that experiment. Whether a chemical high explosive is some new hybrid nuclear bomb to get the amount of explosion to test this experiment, which advanced the efforts to develop technology in support of U.S. nuclear nonproliferation goals, this was a setup to match the to help reduce global nuclear threats by improving detection of underground nuclear explosive tests. Whether or not they had to have an explosive test to do that to match their models, I don't know. But this is all at the same time that we're talking and threatening nuclear war. Now, Russia has said they stopped agreeing to it because it didn't matter, but they are not in the game to just start making more nuclear tests. But they will only do so if they have to. And that goes back to what they said. They are not going to be a first strike country. When they are existentially threatened, their existence is existentially threatened, they will, that is on the table. They've never said that they'll use them. They said that it's on the table to be considered to be used. And we want to hear, as we talk about troops on the ground and where this future is going and the things that we need a war, they need to get us our minds off. They need to get us thinking that we're producing for the old United States way. Former Pentagon analyst says here, Biden's speech awkwardly militaristic and threatening. And I don't remember where I have the idea of it. I'm trying to look now here. His use of the words in this report he did on, I think it was Thursday, which he rarely does to the people, telling people where we are. This was just a setup. I think he referred to Roosevelt and the words there to gain favor by the public in a militaristic fashion to pump up the people, to get them to start being productive for the military. This is nothing more than seeding a future war, just like Roosevelt did. It's pretty scary in a way, but this speech, it was, I don't know what it was meant for, as far as I didn't know what it meant for, but the words he's using is telegraphing the United States government intends to go to war. And they're going to expect people to support it. When I saw all this, it brought back the idea, if there's going to be a peace movement, if there's going to be an anti-war movement, it better start becoming vocal now. Because as I've been saying, the writing's on the wall to me. I don't know how they get away from not do it. Your sons and daughters are going to war. I don't want to be fear-mongering on that. I can't see how it's not going to be. Everything that they're doing, the pumping up right now, is no different than the World War II effort right before to get everybody on board to be the producers of munitions that they needed in order to win that war, and airplanes and all this other stuff. And anyway, so this was a scary bit to hear him say. Certainly, I can't believe it's coming out of him. The analyst does probably a better job generally than I could. I just focused on the idea of I can't remember what the statement was about doing something with arming democracy or something. That is such a propaganda statement, a terrorizing propaganda statement. Why would you do that to democracy? And I'm not talking about the one that's just us. I'm talking about our idea of government, of open government, of, you know, the people have a say type stuff. What he had brought up in militarizing democracy is not something I'd want to hear from a president's mouth, and moving into what we're seeing in Israel. I can't find my note on that part, so I apologize, but anyway, moving through that. Terrifying in a way, statement. He's just promoting the military industrial complex, just what we've been warned about. This is not going away. It's not, and they're now moving more closely to the parts where what would be called extremists and radicals who are defending their cultures have had enough. They've had enough, and they've had a couple decades to prepare, and they haven't been doing really so bad when you hear the real stories about against Israel and what that was doing at the tip of the spear for what the United States wants. And how long could the fighting in the MIC Cha-Ching last? Israeli Gaza operations could be a Mogadishu on steroids for my concern for your sons and daughters on moving this thing forward. They don't talk about it like this, but I can't see the evidence going to be contrary to our folks. Our young kids are dying. They're going over there as fodder, like we've heard in the past for all wars. This report, the IDF would likely encounter suicide bombers, ambushes, and booby traps, according to General David Petraeus. You don't win the counterinsurgencies in a year or two. They typically take a decade or more. And we saw in Iraq, and we saw in Afghanistan. Did you catch that, folks? The U.S. lost in Afghanistan, okay? And this is the boots on the ground in Israel. They're saying that there's a specialist in whatever they are. It doesn't end there. It just can't end there. United States just put troops, I understand, in Taiwan. It doesn't. China's not going to let it end there. This is all seed planting from an official loser that this is going to be a meat grinder if this thing escalates. Notwithstanding all the nations saying, oh, tone it down, de-escalate, they're fostering and encouraging it. They've allowed this situation to be a wound in the Middle East, this Israel thing. Now, on the other hand, if we listen a little bit further, maybe consistently leaving the all-important off-ramp for the United States, and this is a little bit of hope here, we can help, consequent to the breach of promise, didn't Biden just say something similar about Israel, where he talked about in Ukraine, that when he says that U.S. will forever stand with Israel, pledging unwavering support to the country. Didn't he do that to Ukraine? Something like it? Yeah, U.S. President Joe Biden vowing continued support for Israel during his visit on Wednesday. And I felt a little bit of hope here. If that's the case, before... And we did that. He said that right as he said that he was going to be standing in solidarity with Ukraine. That was right before the political will Washington is said to have changed, isn't it? So I'm looking at a little bit of hope here that maybe Biden saying that we'll stand with Israel forever is that same potential off-ramp for the United States. And maybe this doesn't go quite as far as it could be if they stay integrated. And that hope kind of got diminished, except because the U.S. doesn't officially have boots in the ground in Ukraine, does it? As it does right, is now going to have in the Zionist occupied Palestine. And the U.S., it seems to me, needs a war and a reason to get directly involved. And so these stories, I think, are planting the seeds of a false flag in a way for America. And we're hearing the tone of that coming through. And not predictive. I'm just saying if I saw this, it wouldn't be a surprise, and I'd learn to discern that was a setup for a takedown if we swallowed that hook as the groupers and kept running with those ideas, like we have some cause that's somehow defending America. But again, if it's a fraud, there's no right of defense. U.S. lawmakers advised to use underground tunnels amid Palestine-Israel conflict protests. And so they start ramping up this idea, tying it into the 9/11 threat, tying into the J6 thing, and I suppose they'll be using those special phones. Remember, they were given a while back to do all this as well. U.S. Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene said on Wednesday that the U.S. Capitol Police has advised lawmakers to stay inside Congress to use the underground tunnels during the protests against the Israel-Hamas war. Last night, the Capitol Police put up the bike racks because of expected pro-Palestinian protests today in intelligence. That members of Congress will be targeted. They told us to stay inside and only use underground tunnels. Green noted that the Biden administration wants the United States to go to war and emphasized that she stands for peace. However, when you look at the Republicans, they're actually wanting to go send money for war more than even the Democrats, which want to send the Democratic or liberal mind, which wants to send humanitarian money to Palestine. So I find this is an interesting flip-flop. And just to keep up the tension with the good theater, pressing the ever-present 9/11 is us self-inflicted fear-mongering protests take over Capitol over the Hamas-Israel war on this news. Note here the Zio-Nazi supporter, the same representative, Marjorie Taylor Greene, a Georgia Republican, shared on her X her own footage of the protests in a 14-minute video saying there's an insurrection happening now on Capitol Hill. As we start commingling lots of things, we see the injustice working and injustice is going on. And we move on to another story here. Pro-Palestinian demonstrators swarm a Capitol Hill demand Gaza ceasefire as police arrest protesters, U.S. Capitol Police said. Demonstrators are not allowed inside congressional buildings and work to clear the crowd. In an ex post, USCP warned the protesters to stop demonstrating, and, quote, when they did not comply, we began arresting them. I wonder if they're going to get the J6 treatment, folks. You think they're going to get the J6 treatment? I don't think so. But, oh, here it is. They're toning it up. You know, insurrection, well, not insurrection. We're just going to arrest a few folks. Because you can't go on free speech and protest and demonstrate inside your own Capitol building, apparently, if you didn't get that one, too. But and despite any protest or even Zionista-loving bankers' caution against a wider Middle East war, from the noisy, headline-grabbing, narcissistic, sand-pounding, ignorant, unrealistic, psychopathic, warmongering, even rabid Congress critter who should resign immediately, if not sooner, U.S. Senator Lindsey Graham threatens to force Iran out of the oil business. These folks don't get enough. The Republican foreign policy war hawk warned that he could introduce a resolution in the Senate, quote, to allow military action by the United States in conjunction with Israel to knock Iran out of the oil business. Quote, Iran is, if you escalate this war, we're coming for you, Graham concluded. At the same time, U.S. President Joe Biden has acknowledged that at this point, there is no clear evidence that Iran helped Hamas carry out its attack on Israel on October the 7th. Answer. Iran has already explained it will not enter directly. There are myriad resistance groups eager to enter instead. So where is this Lindsey Graham coming from? In fact, these resistance groups are already moving to the Palestine border without nary a peep from anybody, particularly Lindsey Graham, and because that would quickly expose that this noisy, headline-grabbing, narcissistic, sand-pounding, ignorant, unrealistic, psychopathic, warmongering, even rabid creature is that creature. This Lindsey Graham needs to be gone. And it's unrealistic. And yet he's saying he's going to pass a resolution. Why do you folks back there got him in office? I don't know. But this is our problem. Somehow we've all drunk the Kool-Aid wherever we are, and leave these people in place. On Sunday, we quoted Iranian representatives at the UN on clarifying that Iran's armed forces will not engage unless directly attacked by Israel first. This is just like the position from Russia. We're not going to attack first. We've got a job here to do. But we're working through different means. And I would think here, Senator Graham, be very careful that you don't admit the United States is directly responsible, subject given your corrupted, hypocritical, bent-over position on Ukraine. Remember what the Israelis said. If you all just agree that you're directly involved, watch out, Senator Graham, what you're saying here. It sounds like to me you're being outplayed by a reality of the Arab and Muslim spirit in their long suffering. If Afghanistan has already slipped from yourself, is serving reckless rhetoric. We lost there. Petraeus just referenced that as an example of a Mogadishu-style massacre of Americans, if you will, in Israel, and a wider war developing. This idiot wants to even bigger go after Iran, the target. It's been the target the whole time. And we can't ruin the opportunity for a warm and fuzzy photo op perception management after all that money the U.S. is sending over to Israel, to invade Gaza after Biden leaves. The point being, Biden went over to talk with them. I guess they're going to give them a better inkling on what they shouldn't do because of the bad optics that it might be, and it might actually interfere with what the United States wants. That Israel said, okay, well, another excuse, we're not going to invade until after Biden leaves, after we do our great photo op for everybody. And to me, this was, I could read more, but it doesn't really matter. They're talking about ramping this thing up. And it seems to me this is just another excuses. Next, it'll be the weather. Oh, wait. Yeah, they've already done the weather, right? So, again, this is now, they've been given the marching orders. They be very careful about going on the ground into Gaza for a couple of reasons. Israel soldiers will become the grinded meat, it seems. It's not a very big place, but it's very well fortified by Hamas and likely others. that are there. And so this is not going to be so simple. This is, I've been told by looking at, this is the worst urban, if they bomb the buildings, it's still the worst urban environment to come in and fight as a, as an attacking force. So these folks, this thing is not over. It's set up to be the meat grinder that the Russians planned for Ukraine and have been successful on. And here, more excuses to delay the ground offensive, and it is extremely offensive here as well. But the useless UN Security Council sits on its hands. You'd think it would have been an easy statement to make that it isn't, that it is in the security interests of the region to eliminate killing or dislocation of women, children, and the indigenous in Gaza. But instead, the UN Security Council meets on a Gaza-Israel matter, but fails to agree on even a statement about it. You'd think that this would be cut and dried, that saves some people. But it's a game. It's a big political game going on. Everyone has their angle. And again, Hamas is in the way. The Palestinians are in the way. We can call genocide. They're inconsequential. And so we have to call it louder and do more than just calling it out. And this perception management that's been going on, other things that can ruin perception management and the kinds that need to be eliminated, are those of us who are looking, as I said early on with Assange, BBC takes six reporters off air over pro-Palestinian stance. The internal probe comes as the broadcasters face domestic backlash for allegedly not showing enough support for Israel. And I don't understand how you could support fraud or genocide. But this is what the BBC wants all about. Again, the UK, His Majesty's mouthpiece. The Guardian cartoonist gets sacked. The persecutors using lies upon lies and misrepresentations to silence all questioning of His Majesty's concurrence and support with the Zionista Federation. Again, not my words. That was in the Balfour letter communications. Using the Jews, which they've now, the Zionistas have admitted to overthrow, using their cause, their need, to overthrow the Palestinians, who are the actual Semites there, which is really fascinating how they twisted this over. The story, Steve Bell's work was reportedly deemed to be perpetuating an anti-Semitic trope. The Palestinians are the Semites. It is also reported, if you look around, 11 journalists were killed in Israeli strikes on Gaza, not in Lebanon, but on Gaza, and 50 media buildings were destroyed. If you don't understand the importance of propaganda management and shutting down the opposition. So why would an Israeli acting in good faith eliminate only Hamas, saying that they would eliminate only Hamas, why would they attack journalists? It's probably the same answer why they're attacking the civilians, the Christians there, anybody else that has that's defenseless. These are cowards. These are just bloodthirsty cowards. I don't know what else to say. There's not a word worth. These are evil. These are evil, and that's really the side that we're playing here. It doesn't get too much airplay here enough where we would say, well, we're not talking Palestine secular, but we're looking at the Holy Land, and that's got a whole other thing rolling. Israel minister calls for arrest of journalists and citizens that share information that harms, quote, national morale. If you don't see the consistent thread that the persecutors make up a harm and they pin it on you and it's done and you're over. And if you don't have a support group, you're going to be penciled out, gone, dealt with. The reach of these regulations is comprehensive, encompassing all forms of audio and visual communications that the legislation works toward. The power vested in the communication minister is extensive. It allows for the cessation of broadcast, confiscation of broadcast equipment, and even the physical removal of individuals from certain locales, all under the subjective banner of national security. Where have you heard that before? Behind the woodshed, where you pointed out, where have you heard that before? Every governmental agency that wants to take you down uses the catch-all. And I said, that's going to be the worst thing that we can fight. And I talked to you about it in Kobe Swindle, and yet I had an answer for you, and it wasn't my answer. It was in the code, already in the law, to show you that national security can be trumped when there's a fraud afoot, and you can identify that. And so in totality, all these regulations for being able to go after people that harm the national morale. What morale? What's moral about this? What morale are you building to destroy a people? In totality, these developments represent a troubling trend towards the erosion of journalistic freedom and the sanctity of free speech, pivotal pillars of any democratic establishment, and some that often get undermined during times of war. And you see this globally. The whole world is in war, whether you recognize it or not. You know them when you see them. The real good rule here. You know them by their deeds. This erosion is gone. It's not just an erosion. They're attacking it at all levels, and Israel's showing you how virulent they are to take it out. Further evidencing this murderous Zionistic perception management, cancel culture, known as "Don't Let a Color Revolution to Advance Deception Go to Waste," we can read this report and story. Israeli panelist targets Indian news host over pro-Palestinian clothing. Quote, pro-Palestinian clothing. The pro-Palestine clothing, the claim was made due to the colors of the presenter's sari, leading to a heated exchange. It was her outfit that she was wearing. The bizarre exchange took place when Frederick Landau, a business consultant in Tel Aviv, who was previously a strategic advisor to several politicians and senior advisor to the Minister of Interior in Israel, was questioned on the bombing of Al-Hali Hospital in Gaza. That's the Baptist Christian Hospital. With all due respect to the green, the red, and the black that you have purposely put on this evening, blue and white will always prevail, Landau told Sharia de Hundal, the executive editor of the Mirror, now leaving her speechless for a few seconds. He was referring to the Palestinian flag, which is green, red, and black and white. De Hundal reacted to Landau's outburst, urged the guest to not to divide colors on the basis of religion. The garment I'm wearing is a sari, she told Landau, adding that it was passed down to her from her late grandmother. She did not know that the Israel-Hamas conflict was about, and what the Israeli Hamas conflict was about, and the sari in no way signifies any support for any sides. What has happened, she asked. In Gaza, the bombing of the hospital, 500 people dead, it's simply criminal. What I'm wearing is simply my grandmother's sari. It signifies nothing else. In fact, De Hundal is seen wearing what seems to be the similar sari in a social media post, of which she posted, "My grandmother would have been thrilled to see her sari take a debut on national TV," which happened on August 15, 2021, on the occasion of India's 75th Independence Day, attaching the picture of herself to the Indian garment, with the traditional Indian garment. So this is the Zionista perception management cancel culture, as if it is known as, I don't let a color revolution go to waste. This is what Israelis do. This is what any propaganda artist does. And this is what they try to grab your mind. And I'm glad she responded this way. It's shocking, actually, that they pull this stunt like this on people, and we're not prepared. And I guess I'm talking about it. We have to be prepared in all these manners of ways to respond to these psychopaths coming at us in the future on we don't know what different types of things. I hope something I've said today gives you some awareness of the dynamics of it, how deceitful the world has become, how apologetic it is as well, and how inactive it is against these problems. I hope you can use this information to help protect you and see the offender coming and have a word in your mouth to protect yourself. I'll be with you next week. Take this, or nature willing.
That's another lesson. I hope with today's information you can take it to those that misbehave. From behind the woodshed, leaving his mark on the beast, this is Hal Anthony. Till next time, journey with purpose.
can of whoop-ass feels like.
Son, you just opened a whole case of whoop-ass.